Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Side of Genocide. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, according to the Prime Minister John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest today comes to us from the mystical realm of Wall Street. His name's Tom Filer, affiliate, associate, something otheriate of Lindsay Williams. So, Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Vinny. It's always a privilege and an honor to appear on your show and to have an opportunity to speak with your audience and with you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've been better. I'm in a little bit of a financial crisis myself lately. My PayPal cut me off from all my subscribers, so I'm busy trying to encourage people to resubscribe for a couple of bucks a month so I, you know, can go back to surviving.
Amen. Well, your show is something that, you know, brings forth information and topics that, people don't get anywhere else. So as I did, I think, on the last show, I would encourage everybody to support your show. Not only as listeners, but also financially as well. It's very important to keep media like yours, with an ability to, get information out that the people aren't going to hear anywhere else.
Now, speaking of information that you're not going to hear anywhere else, have you got an agenda for us today to help people with their own personal financial struggles?
Yes, I appreciate an opportunity to come and talk to your audience. I think a lot of your audience members, of course, may be concerned about what recently happened with gold. On a historical basis, gold dropped dramatically about a week ago, Friday and Monday. And so we've gotten a lot of calls to our company trying to find out what happened. Why did gold drop so historically in such a very short period of time? They're wondering whether or not it represents a change in the what's called the macroeconomic situation out there in the world. Was there some change in the fundamentals of the U.S. or the global economy, which might have caused gold to go down? What should their reaction be to the drop in gold? People have also asked us, were there institutions that were involved in the drop of gold that, either influenced it substantially or maybe helped to create the drop in gold? And so I think it's wonderful that you're offering your audience an opportunity to spend a couple hours talking about some of these questions and how people should kind of take a look at precious metals and gold going forward.
Yeah, indeed. And we now have the caller line open, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want some financial advice from an expert, here's your opportunity right here, right now with Tom Filer. The phone number is 1-218-339-8525. That's an international call-in number. So it's 1-218-339-8525, or just calling in the United States, just take off the 1. So it's just 218-339-8525. Now, interestingly enough, Tom, I was asked by somebody, I cannot figure out who or remember who exactly it was asking me why the gold price dropped. And I said, I have no idea. Hopefully I'll get the opportunity to talk to an expert about it, and here you are. So would you be able to give us your take on why the gold dropped so sharply?
Sure. Absolutely. Vinny, provide a disclaimer to the audience and let them know and alert them that, we're going to be talking a lot about investments, about gold, and we're going to be, providing some information, some supposition, some sentiment. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things, and I need to encourage the audience to receive this as information, and to always be careful whether you hear something on a show like yours, or whether your audience hears something on a cable business show, or reads something in a financial newspaper. To take that as information only, and before making any investment decisions, to be sure to consult with a professional, and in the best case circumstance, a professional who is of like mind with you. One thing the audience has to remember is some things are going to be said, and for some people, some investment ideas may be appropriate, and for other people, the same investment idea may not be appropriate for them, because everybody has different financial circumstances, objectives. Everybody has a different financial lifestyle, so they need to understand that. That no matter where they hear something about an asset or a prospective investment, that they make sure they get professional counsel, on that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair warning. Goes for everybody as well.
Absolutely. Why did gold drop? I'd like to, maybe begin this segment with, giving a perspective, kind of broad perspective on some of the issues that. That we need to kind of think about as we think about the value of gold and certainly why it recently dropped. It's recently also had a nice rebound, so it's rebounded up a little bit as well. And just from a perspective standpoint, the drop of about 11% or so in one day, and about 16-17% over 2 days, that's Friday and Monday of about a week ago, represent a never-seen-before selling climax in the price history of gold. So this was something that, from a historical basis, was quite significant, something that hadn't been seen for many, many years. Now, on the other hand, throughout the history of gold, there's been periods where gold has dropped substantially as well, not necessarily in such a short period of time, but you can go back to 1976, where gold went through about a 20-month decline. You can go back to February 1985, a period where gold had about a 24-month decline. April of 2001, gold over an 18-month period declined 25% over that period. Go up to 2007 and 2008, and gold declined about 25% over that period as well. And from the top in 2011, this year, through the bottom of Monday a week ago, gold declined about 31%. So while the decline was significant, it's something that has been seen in gold throughout the recent history of gold down through the years. Now,
Tom, we're having a little bit of problems with the phone lines. It's no worries for you. We can still hear what you're saying. Just
okay.
And if you have a backup number or something of that, because we've been having some real problems with the phones recently, particularly when we're talking about financial information, as it turns out.
Okay.
I'm sure it's just coincidence.
Like, oh, yeah. I'll send you my backup number.
Okay, that's a good idea, just in case.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of finances, gold in particular, I was talking with somebody the other day and said that most of the gold is made up. You know, it's not real. It's just paper. And basically, unless you have the gold in your hand, you won't get nothing.
Yeah.
Is that about right? Is there legions of, like, billions of dollars of just fake gold that just doesn't exist out there?
Well, yeah, I think nothing's been truer than what you just said. Unless you hold it in your hand, you don't have it or you don't own it. And, you know, as we talk tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about the whole gold system. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to learn, you know, what kind of makes up the gold system, how gold interests are passed along throughout the system. And so, for example, I think what you just mentioned there is there's, of course, you've got the major bullion banks, and they go to, Fed, and they borrow off of their gold. And then, of course, they sell that gold to other entities, which, of course, then ends up on the stock market. So in many instances, many of your listeners may think that they own gold, but they just really own borrowed gold, and that's all they really have. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the system out there and how exactly gold is transacted.
Go on.
Yeah. I think one thing, as you take a look at the question, why did gold go down? I think it's always good to take a look at, you know, why perhaps, what are the reasons that don't exist why gold went down, if I'm making sense. So, for example, a lot of people are wondering, you know, did something fundamentally change in the U.S. or the global economy, which would have caused gold to drop the way it did? From any evidence that one can see out there, the answer is no. Nothing has changed fundamentally out there. As a matter of fact, some of the evidence to that is, as gold was dropping over that short period of time, we were receiving very negative U.S. and global economic news. And usually a weakening U.S. and global economy would kind of drive investors to gold and to silver as a asset of safety and as a real asset, beyond the fiat currency system that's out there. So, for example, Vinny, as gold was dropping a little over a week ago or so, we were getting manufacturing numbers from different parts of the world in the United States that were weakening. In other words, the industrial output and the manufacturing numbers have gotten weaker, and such information like that was coming out as gold was dropping. Another bit of global economic news that came out was that China's GDP was being revised downward from about an 8% growth down to 7.7% growth. And, of course, you know, China is one of the important economies in the world that drives growth out there. And we were receiving economic news that their numbers, growth numbers, were getting weaker as gold was dropping. We also had an International Monetary Fund report that came out, and it lowered global GDP growth. So that came out right around that time. So the fundamentals that make gold and silver desirable you know, which is as a safety asset to counteract the global economic and fiat currency, you know, weakness, remain intact. You know, nothing changed there. So as you take a look at, you know, reasons for why gold dropped, you have to look to other reasons for that happening. Another bit of evidence is that while gold was selling over that period, there was actually frenzied buying of physical gold and gold and silver coins during that period. A number of headlines that people read out there was, for example, quote, gold buying frenzy continues. China, Japan, and Australia scramble for physical gold. Another headline out there, India's response to the gold sell-off, a massive buying frenzy. And then on April 17th, right as the gold was dropping, U.S. Mint sells a record 63,500 ounces of gold one day. So as the price of gold was dropping, there was a frenzy to buy physical gold. Myself and my associates, we called up our sources. We called up gold dealers, and they confirmed that during that period was that they didn't have enough inventory in for the buyers that were buying the gold, physical gold. So one has to eliminate, you know, that factor, the factor of, well, you know, physical gold buying dried up. That might be a factor to bring the gold price down, but that wasn't happening. And, people were buying more and more physical gold. So, you know, that's not a reason, you know, for, you know, why, you know, gold, you know, went down. Something else which, we've discussed before, Chaplain Williams' first DVD that myself and my associates participated in, and then on the second DVD more recently, we mentioned that. You know, we mentioned that, you know, gold, like other assets, is something that can be manipulated. You know, the powers that be, they've created a system, and they've got the ability to be able to influence that system to their benefit.
All right. Well, that's a good first segment, all in all. We'll be right back with Tom Filer after the break. Caller lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525, and you'll be first in the queue. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We like to have fun, and we also like to talk about pretty much anything y'all please. And today we're talking with a financial genius. Is that too strong a word? No, I don't think it is. Tom Filer. Right. So where were we? We're talking about gold, right? So the situation is like this, that the gold price has dropped sharply. Huge amount of people wanting to buy it up at that real low price. And I was wondering, what stand does currency manipulation have to do with this? Because what I've seen with the gold prices is that if the currency gets devalued, gold price goes up. And if the currency gets, contracted and each of the dollars are worth more, the gold price comes down. Anything like that happening?
Well, you know, that's the standard reaction or relationship a lot of times that you know, gold will have to, you know, currencies. And so, yes, that will happen, you know, at times. But times when that doesn't happen, when that will dislocate, and there'll be a close, what they call correlation or similarity between the movement of gold as well as, you know, some currencies at some time. So, you know, investors, gold investors, have to be very careful about simple relationships, which you know, or maybe even at times prevalent relationships. A lot of times those relationships will dislocate. So you have to be very careful about that. In this instance right now, really, you've basically got currencies all across the world. And again, this is another reason to eliminate that gold was going down on fundamental reasons. Everybody's devaluing their currency. I mean, there is a rush all over the world to devalue, their currency. And so as that's going on, the normal relationship, would be that, gold would be strengthening. So that's another, kind of dynamic that, didn't bring down the value of gold. That's an important consideration, to watch, and a very important relationship to watch. But getting back to, what we were talking about before, I mentioned that, gold can be manipulated in either asset out there. One thing some people may not realize is that there's been a record central bank demand for gold since 2010. And this is a trend that we noticed, back then, where central banks became net purchasers of gold in 2010. And this is the first time that they were net purchasers of gold since 1989. There's a report that China alone officially imported about 835 tons of gold just in 2012. China also is said to have imported another 800 tons of gold in the last 3 months. And this is during, the decline in gold price. And we'll get a better indication of some of the gold buying by whom when the World Gold Council comes out with their gold demand report this coming May in about 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll have a better idea of, who's been buying, gold and or selling it, when. But that's an important, factor to understand is that, as institutions like central banks have become net buyers of gold, then through their activities, gold can be moved or manipulated much easier, by a large institution, such as a central bank.
Yeah. Well, is there any kind of agenda there? I mean, because I heard that China has been vigorously hoarding gold while the rest of the world is selling it.
Yes, yeah. And, one thing which I found very interesting, we learned years ago, was that, China is actually one of the largest gold producers, and yet their government requires all the Chinese gold producers to sell the gold to the government. Absolutely. And not only do they hoard gold from within, but China is, buying as much gold from, outside and other global producers as much as they can. So that's something to keep an eye on as, the reserve currency system is going through a very, very dramatic change out there.
Completely interesting factoid of history. How the... way back in the day, how the Chinese managed to find gold under the ground?
I'm sorry?
How the Chinese used to find gold back in the day. They'd look for wild garlic.
Right.
Yeah. Grows in the same areas where the gold's found under the ground. I thought that was intensely interesting.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of diverge a little bit, one thing whenever I hold a piece of gold in my hand, my understanding is that, way back when, I guess billions of years ago, when there was the Big Bang, gold was part of the material of the minerals as part of that. And so, of course, gold, settled in the creation of planets and of course, galaxies. And so whenever I hold a piece of gold in my hand, and wondered, where did this come from? Gold has literally over billions of years traveled, billions and billions of miles, to find its way on Earth and then eventually into our hands. So I always, whenever I hold gold, I kind of have a feeling of wonderment, you know, when I do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that there's something strange about it. Like, it's different from every other metal that I've ever seen or held. You know, the color is different, the weight is different, apart from tungsten, of course, which is why, incidentally, they found out that a lot of the gold bars are being salted with tungsten, if not just being hollowed out and filled with it, because it's virtually the same chemical weight. But
right.
it's got, like, magical healing properties or something I've heard as well, you know, putting gold flecks in beverages or something of that nature has some great health effect. Like, it has so many different uses. Isn't it even used in the aerospace industry or something like that for the astronauts out in space?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. It serves as not only plating, very strong plating, but also as a conductor as well.
Now, moving on from just the random facts about gold, I'd like you to just, well, basically continue, Tom.
Sure.
Analysis.
Yeah, let me just spend, I think we're maybe coming up for a break, so I'll just kind of get started on this, but maybe just spend a few more minutes on, once again, you know, how institutions and entities can influence gold out there. Again, you know, one of the reasons why we always recommend, you know, owners of gold, especially owners of gold that have a lot of it, and, you know, we work with, you know, with the families and investors who have, you know, 10% of their assets are in gold, some 20, 30, 40. We work with, you know, families and investors who have 60 or 70% of their assets in gold. So, you know, because we know it can be manipulated, you know, we encourage everybody to make sure they have what we call a gold management plan, so they can, you know, manage their gold and, you know, at times, to work to protect their gold, you know, from some of these downsides and some of these periods of manipulation. So that's why I'm spending a little time on, you know, trying to unfold for your audience, you know, how does gold move around the system and who has influence and who is instrumental in moving gold around. And I want to just talk a little bit about the securitization of gold. You know, years and years ago, owners of gold just simply owned physical gold. And you know, among retail investors, it was a relatively small market. But then, you know, going back, I guess, to about 2004 or so, a little bit before that, they came up with a gold and, of course, silver exchange-traded funds. And then, of course, offered them in the stock market. And this really opened up the ownership of gold, or quote-unquote the ownership of gold, to literally just millions upon millions and millions of other investors. A lot of people, you know, believe that that really drew on a lot of supply of gold. And, you know, we've had a nice, you know, 12-13 year run of gold. 12-13 years, gold has you know, gone up significantly over that period of time, and done very, very well. But let's take a look at the securitized aspect of gold. You know, you know, what is that system? You know, who are maybe some instrumental players, you know, in that system of gold? And the one organization that you need to kind of know about is the Spider Gold Trust. And they're the ones who, you know, sponsor GLD, which is the gold ETF, one of the gold ETFs out there. And the Spider, SPDR Gold Trust, was formed in November of 2004. The trust and the sponsor is actually World Gold Trust Services. And interestingly, and I think a lot of people will recognize the organization I'm going to mention now, but they might not have understood or known about the relationship that this organization has, you know, with the Spider Gold Trust and the ETF GLD. A lot of people are very familiar with the World Gold Council. And I just mentioned them a few minutes ago, where the World Gold Council is an organization which I would say, you know, promotes gold. They do a lot of research, and they gather a lot of information on gold and provide that information to investors in gold and, of course, users of gold. And the relationship that they have with the Spider Gold Trust is the Spider Gold Trust is wholly owned by the World Gold Council. So there's a direct relationship between the World Gold Council and the ETF, GLD. And so, you know, that has a that's a very interesting relationship, and you have to kind of bend your mind around that relationship and maybe the influence that you know, gold GLD has on gold and the World Gold Council and vice versa. So that's one thing that's very interesting. Now, staying with, you know, how that system works, how does the Spider Gold Trust work? And, you know, are there entities out there, institutions or entities, that have a large influence in the movement of gold, you know, through the gold ETF GLD? The way the trust is set up is that the trust has designated about 18 equity entities, financial institutions, generally speaking, who are the only entities that may place orders to the Spider Gold. So just kind of imagine this. All the hundreds of millions or billions of dollars that gets traded, you know, in GLD is traded through 18 financial institutions. And institutions that we all recognize, like Citigroup, like the J.P. Morgan Chase, you know, Deutsche Bank, and you know, some of the major ones that most of us would recognize. One of the other institutions is Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs and Company is another one of the institutions through which one of the only 18 financial entities that the Spider Gold Trust trades its gold through. And I'm going to, you know, kind of create a relationship between Goldman Sachs and, you know, some of the influences that Goldman Sachs and other institutions like this can perhaps, and, you know, there's you know, a lot of, you know, research, analysis, supposition to the things that we're discussing tonight. So I'm just trying to, you know, develop some relationships here. The way an order takes place when you buy the GLD ETF, exchange-traded fund, is as an investor, you call up your broker and you put an order in to buy shares of GLD. Your broker will call one of these 18 organizations. These financial institutions are referred to by the Spider Gold Trust as authorized participants. So these financial institutions, about 18 of them, are what's called authorized participants, the only financial institutions through which any orders for GLD will go through. Your broker-dealer will call one of these 18 participants, and let's just use Goldman Sachs. They'll call up Goldman Sachs, and they'll put an order in to buy the shares that you want to buy. Goldman Sachs will then call up the Spider Gold Trust, and Goldman Sachs. Yeah, I hear we have segment break coming up.
You can finish your sentence.
Okay. Yes. So Goldman Sachs will then call up the Spider Trust, and Goldman Sachs will quote unquote purchase gold to the amount that you're ordering, and then will exchange that gold with the Spider Gold Trust.
We'll be right back. Tom Filer is my guest, ladies and gentlemen.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. It's already into the third segment with my special guest, Tom Filer. I don't know what it is about this show, but it just goes by so quickly. Right, Tom, I'm sorry. You were talking about something about Goldman having everybody by the sacks?
Perhaps well put. just to continue, you know, the story, and, you know, my wonderful wife who's listening in has told me to slow down. You know, I tend to get excited and then speak very quickly. You told me, Tom, slow down a little bit. You kindly, in your last show, you know, Vinny asked me about my family and my wife, and I've got a wonderful wife. She's a very, very intelligent, you know, lady, of course, much smarter than I am. And so I'm really blessed, and so I'll try to slow down a little bit. And I know I'm getting into a lot of kind of, you know, wonkish information here, a lot of detail, and so... you know, I apologize to the audience, but I'm trying to kind of set things up so people can understand as best they can, you know, how the gold system works and how certain entities, you know, may have an influence in it. An influence, you know, certainly beyond, you know, Vinny, what your influence and my influence can be on the market. So we were talking about the gold ETF, GLD, the symbol is GLD, and we were creating some relationships here for, you know, how... that system moves the representation of gold. You know, how one, how an individual, everyday American puts an order in for GLD and what system and process that goes through. Because, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, you know, have over the years gone through GLD. So we're to the point where we know that there's only about 18 institutions through which the Spider Gold Trust, you know, which operates GLD, conveys orders through. An individual investor puts an order through to their broker-dealer. That broker-dealer then calls one of those 18 institutions, puts the order for GLD through that one of those institutions. One of those is, I mentioned a few of them, and one is Goldman Sachs, and I'm going to kind of be coming back to the name Goldman Sachs. With all due respect to Goldman Sachs. And then Goldman Sachs buys, quote-unquote, a representation of gold, which then they call up the Spider Gold Trust, and then an exchange makes place for that representation of gold from Goldman Sachs to Spider Gold Trust, which then takes the gold, you know, from these participating institutions, these authorized participants like Goldman Sachs. They take the gold from them, or the representation of gold, which is usually borrowed, you know, by the participating institution, and then they issue certificates to Goldman Sachs for the shares that are being bought by the average everyday American. Goldman Sachs and those other 18 institutions then communicate that certificate to the broker-dealer, and then the broker-dealer calls up the everyday American who has just bought, let's say, 1,000 shares of. And in between that, of course, these participating institutions, those 18 institutions, are buying a representation of gold. And, of course, a lot of their clients will be owning GLD and some of the other products that are sold by the Gold Trust.
You've heard of the expression clipping the ticket, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that what's going on here? Because basically what you've just explained to me is that you've got 18 institutions that are authorized to buy representations of gold, i.e. made-up gold, right? Then they go to this big bank, this gold trust, Fighter Gold Trust, and then they issue certificates, which is basically like printing currency, and then the bank calls the buyer originally. So you've got this back and forth, and a whole bunch of ticket clipping along the way. I was also wondering, does the fact that the system is run like this with so many backs and forths with the banks and the other higher institutions, you know, authorities and things of that nature, is that pushing up the price of gold to a margin as well?
Yeah, well, as you kind of mentioned, cooking the ticket, I'll use the phrase, and I'll bring it back to Goldman Sachs, self-fulfilling prophecy. Let me be clear with you and the audience that I'm putting on my conspiracy theory hat here. The best we can do is observe things that happen out there and then, you know, draw whatever reasonable conclusions there are. You know, some conspiracy theories are reasonable and founded on certain, you know, bits of good factual and other types of evidence, and then, you know, certain conspiracy theories don't have as much evidence or as facts as other things. So I'm clearly, you know, putting on my conspiracy theory hat here. But if anybody was noticing things just literally right before the dramatic drop in gold, Goldman Sachs came out with a sentiment or with a report on their sentiment on gold, which was a negative report. You might have heard that. They downgraded, in their opinion, on the performance of gold. And this happened literally hours, you know, before gold dropped dramatically. The interesting thing is some people have concluded, while Goldman Sachs certainly is smart because, they make a call that gold's going to perform weaker, and lo and behold, gold drops dramatically. Now, again, here's a few things to observe. You know, institutions like Goldman Sachs, you know, when they make a call, when they make a report, an analysis, they're very well respected, and their analysis goes throughout the entire world. And I think it's fair to say that Goldman Sachs themselves would like to believe that their analysis and their sentiment is well respected out there in the world.
Even after selling people quote unquote triple A rated derivatives.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, people, you, Vinny, have a long memory. There's most people out there have a very short memory, and so all those things have already been forgotten. That's absolutely right. And of course, you take a look at many of the other global or the now so-called universal institutions, they did the same thing, but that's been long forgotten, because these institutions, and we've spoken about this before, they're part of the system. They're part of, you know, that track of politics to finances to the banking system, to the Fed, and then back to the politicians. These institutions never face what other people would face with regards to the law on what they do, or the political system hasn't made it illegal for them to do things like this.
I would under the assumption that that's because Goldman Sachs is one of the largest campaign contributors in living memory.
I think that would be a very reasonable observation. Absolutely. That's part of the system. That's part of the system. You know, how the system protects, certain other parts of the system. And, they wash each other's hands and wash each other's backs. Absolutely. And that's what's been going on throughout this entire five-year period that we've been going through. I'm diverging a little bit here, but I'll kind of get back to it. But just getting back to Goldman Sachs makes this negative call on gold, and of course, keep in mind they're central. They're in between this whole system of the movement of hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of gold, you know, through GLD, and of course, you know, when they get the order from a broker dealer, they have to go out there and they have to buy the gold. So they're central, right in the middle, very influential in the movement of gold out there. They make a negative call. And we subsequently find out, because they announced it just a day or so ago, we find out that they shorted gold during this period when gold was going down. Now, how do we know that? Well, because they just announced a matter of hours ago, a day or so ago, that they've taken their shorts off gold. Now, of course, they're going to give you a lot of reasons for why they shorted gold, but when you short gold, for anybody out there who might be wondering, when you short gold, that means that you have...
It's a bet that the stock market thing is going to go down, and it gives a big payoff if something goes down. The same thing happened on 9/11 with United and American Airlines. Somebody bet big that their stock was going to go down, but apparently the money's not being collected, and Deutsche Bank won't let anybody know who the people who shorted the options were.
That's exactly right.
Here's another element as well. Goldman Sachs is in a dual position to, A1, influence the market of its own accord, and then bet accordingly to what its own prospectus is for the gold price. They literally have a betting on a rigged game model going here.
Right. That's exactly the observation. I'd say the point of the story or the observation in the story. Now, you know, Goldman Sachs is not alone, and there's nothing illegal at this point, you know, about that. But it's just an example of how an institution who is in the middle of the movement of billions of dollars of gold has an opportunity to not only make a call to influence the movement of the gold, but they can actually physically, they went in and shorted the gold, they can actually physically go in and influence Paul Woods.
And they could even make it up and not actually really think that the price of gold is going to go down and actually think that it's going to go up. So they tell a big lie maybe and bet on the downside, knowing that the influence of their words will actually make that bet pay off. Now that's a conspiracy theory for you. Wouldn't it be lovely if these people had open books, if we could actually, review their board meetings and the little things that they say and do? But we can't, because it's a breach of their privacy while they're hatching a conspiracy, unfortunately. It's against the law. We'll be right back after this.